For the people of Jesus' time, there was a clear distinction between the secular and the sacred. There was a clear distinction between the city and the temple. There was a clear distinction between daily work and the Sabbath. Sometimes when people think about the temple in these stories, they think about a very large church building. And yet the temple was much more complex than that. As you would enter the temple, you would walk into a very large open space. And that space was called the Court of the Gentiles. And then as you went deeper into the temple, you would go through doors and you would enter another very, very large space that was divided left and right. One side known as the Court of the Women, and the other side known as the Court of the Men. And then you would go deeper into the temple and you would come to another space that was known as the Court of the Priests. And then you'd go beyond that and you would find the altar of sacrifice and the altar of incense. And surrounding the altar of sacrifice, there would be many ornate art pieces. And then behind the altar of sacrifice, you would find a veil that went from the ceiling all the way to the floor. And this veil shielded what was known as the Holy of Holies. No one could pass that veil except the high priest, and he could do it only one day out of the year, the Day of Atonement. And he would go into the Holy of Holies and he would pray for forgiveness for the people of the nation. Inside the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. I spoke about that 2 weeks ago. It was a wooden box made of acacia wood, about the size of this altar. And the top of it was covered with a gold covering, a gold lid on the box. Inside the box was the Decalogue, the covenant, the Ten Commandments. What you and I heard in the first reading was what was in the box. That's why it's called the Ark of the Covenant, because the covenant, the written words of the covenant between God and the people, were contained in that box. The gold lid was known as the mercy seat. And above the mercy seat is where the presence of God was to be found. That's a very complex building. And if you think about the floor plan that I've described for you, it's clear that the deeper one goes into the building, the more exclusive the space becomes. Now, in the story today, in the story of in St. John's Gospel, Jesus goes into the temple and he goes into that first space, that large open space called the Court of the Gentiles. This was the space between the profane and the sacred, the space between the city and the place of worship. It was, if you will, a bridge space. It was constructed to accommodate non-believers. The prophets had said that when the Messiah comes, people from all nations will gather, will come to Zion, will come to the temple. So you had to have a space to accommodate all those people. Well, it was to be a welcoming space. It was to be a hospitable space. It was to be a space where non-believers and believers could meet, could have conversations with each other, could study together, could learn from each other, could pray with each other. It was a space where there would be some quiet, where both non-believers and believers could meditate. It was a space of refuge. Coming out of the busyness of the city, this space was an oasis. What Jesus found infuriating was that the people of his time had turned that space into a marketplace, that they had shown total disregard for the non-believer, that they had treated the non-believer with disrespect, that they had obliterated, if you will, that buffer between the city and the temple, that place in which so much important stuff was to take place. As people of religion interfaced with people of no religion. It was Passover time, and so there were huge crowds gathering in Jerusalem. Many of them Jews, but many of them Gentiles as well, because it would be time to do business. It would be time to carry on the work of a society. So Jesus comes to the temple and he finds that this space has been desecrated. It's now a market space. And so he drives those who were selling and those who were engaging in commerce and those who were engaging in banking, he drives them out. A lot of people I talk to say to me, I am not a religious person, but I am a spiritual person. I do believe in God. I do live a moral life, or I strive to live a moral life. I do live by values. I am a peaceable person. I am an honest person. I am an accepting person. I'm a hard-working person. I'm not religious, though. I'm not part of any organized religious group. I don't have a church or a synagogue or a mosque. I don't gather with a faith community. I'm deeply spiritual, and I live my life, my spiritual life, on my own. That kind of speech, that kind of reporting, is growing quickly and numerously in the United States. 2 weeks ago, Time magazine ran a feature story about 10 ideas or 10 movements or 10 changes taking place in American culture that will dramatically change the face of the way we live. And one of those 10 was precisely what I just described, a growing percentage of Americans who are deeply spiritual, who believe in God, but have not participated or accepted participation in any organized religious group. The study indicated that Americans were really very spiritual and believing people. Only 4% of the study indicated they were atheists, that they did not accept God. That 96%, in one way or another, expressed a belief in God. Well, that's what the Court of the Gentiles was all about. It was about very good people who were non-Jews. People who were believers in God, but not in the God of Israel. Or maybe believers in the unknown God. The Court of the Gentiles were people of faith, Israelite faith, could meet with non-Israelites, non-Jews, non-believers. And where they could do that in a respectful way, in an open way, in a way in which allowed them to talk to each other, in a way which recognized the dignity of each other, and recognized the fact that all of those people were people committed to the truth and to the searching for the truth. A space where they could learn from each other. That's what the Court of the Gentiles was all about. Now, if I was in a position to make rules for the Catholic Church, one of the handful of rules that I would make is I think I would try to find ways of reinstituting the Court of the Gentiles, where men and women of faith, explicit faith, and men and women of deep spirituality but no specific faith could come together and could interface with each other, could speak to each other, could learn from each other, could teach each other, could hear each other, could open up some doors where it might be possible to find far more common ground than we first believed we had. Where this could be done gently and respectfully and carefully. Where no pressure would be put on anyone, and that everyone would be given the benefit of the doubt that they truly were honest seekers of the truth. Well, Jesus clearly wanted that, and he was clearly outraged because that space was no longer available for that to happen. Jesus tells us that he now is the temple. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it. So it is in him that there is the meeting between believer and non-believer. And you and I are the body of Christ. Through the waters of baptism, we have been incorporated with Christ. You and I are to be the space where that meeting can take place. We are to be, if you will, not only the center of the worship of the living God, but also the Court of the Gentiles, which is welcoming, hospitable, and expecting to engage one's neighbors around the central questions of life. Is there God? And if there is, does that make a difference? Does my life have a meaning beyond the here and now? beyond the immediate. Am I made for something more than I experience? Is it possible for human beings to live in union with each other? Or by the very nature of human life, are we forced into conflict with each other? Is there enough for all to have what they need? Is it possible for the human person to reach beyond the physical and to enter the realm of the immaterial, if that realm does exist? Those and so many other questions are central to human beings. And no one of us has all the answer. The court of the Gentiles would create a space where conversations and learning and respectful understanding could take place in the pursuit of truth.